Jamie Varner is the number one contender for the WEC lightweight title, and this coming February, he'll be going up against Razor Rob McCullough for that belt. And right now, he is joining us here on JerryPark.com. And Jamie, just last week, it was officially announced that you'll be going up with going up against Razor Rob. Although, when watching the WEC broadcast, it seemed as though they were only building up his appearance on the card and didn't really mention your name. Did you happen to catch that?
Yeah, it's because I had not signed my contract. They had not sent it to me yet. So I think that had a big thing to do with it, or played a big part in that. They like Razor Rob. They like him as a champion. I think they plan on keeping him around for a little while, but I'm pretty sure after my fight, they're going to have to build someone else up.
So right now, as we speak, everything is signed, sealed, and delivered. You will be officially fighting him?
Yeah, I just signed a contract yesterday, as a matter of fact.
How long ago did you find out that fight? Because there were some rumors that Razor Rob was supposed to fight Alex Karalexis. That obviously fell through. How long have you known that fight was in the works?
Well, back in May, when I signed with the WEC, the whole deal was that I take the fight with Sherron Liggett. Well, actually, at first, I was supposed to fight Richard Crunkleton. Then I got hurt, and then Richard Crunkleton got hurt. Then Sherron Liggett and Charlie Kohler fought, and they said that I would fight Sherron Liggett for the number one contender spot after he beat Charlie Kohler. So I figured the number one contender, after I win this fight, I'd be fighting for the title. That's just what the number one contender is. So I've actually known since May that if I won my fight in August against Sherron, that I'd be fine for a title. But in this business, in this industry, nothing's ever really for sure. So I really wasn't confident, 100% confident, until I got that contract and signed it yesterday.
Now, this will be your second fight for the WEC. Your last one, as you mentioned, was against Sherron in August. Why such a delay between fights?
I don't know, man. I want to fight more. I would love to fight 3 and 4 times a year. I don't know if it's just that, they got so many fighters in that division that, they have to get everybody fights, or if I'm just a hard person to find fights for. I have no idea, I really don't know.
All right, so let's talk about your opponent in February, Razor Rob McCullough. We actually just recently spoke to him at the park about you and the upcoming bout, and a very confident fellow. I mean, he's got a 9-fight consecutive win streak under his belt right now. He is the champion, defended his belt already once and won, and now he's going up against you. Obviously, you don't want to give away too much of your secrets, but as you view him right now, Razor Rob, what are you doing in training and mentally preparing for the battle in February?
Well, I've been training actually since September for this fight.
Rob McCullough?
For specifically Rob McCullough.
Okay.
My training doesn't really, I pretty much train the same for everybody, but we brought in a couple more kickboxers into the camp to help me out with some striking. I actually had a couple kickboxers and one that fought in the same organization that he did a lot of his kickboxing fights in to kind of mimic his style. So we brought in some kickboxers, and I've been sparring. I do a lot of kickbox sparring, a lot of Valley Tudo stuff, and just going against a lot of good strikers. And one thing that's definitely changed compared to a lot of my other training, I hired a strength and conditioning coach, to really get me prepared to go five-minute rounds, even though I don't think the fight is going to go that long. But I did bring in a coach to help, get me in better shape. And the fact that I'm able to train full time now, I'm able to work out 3 times a day and have a lifting session, have a conditioning session, a grappling session, and a striking session. So
when we spoke to Rob, he mentioned that he believes that you'll try to take him to the ground. Rob's got an extensive background and history in Muay Thai, and his last opponent, Richard Crunkleton, tried to stand with him, and obviously that didn't work out too well for him. Is that your game plan right now? I mean, are you looking to try to battle this one out on the ground?
Well, you know, it's kind of stupid for me to be an accomplished wrestler and try and strike with the guy who's pretty much one-dimensional. I mean, how many submissions does Razor Ramon have under his belt? I mean, how many times do you see him take people down? I mean, he took down Kid Ko because he was scared of Kid Ko striking. I'm not saying that my striking is anywhere near Kid Ko's, but I'm pretty sure that he wants to keep on his feet for a reason because that's where he feels he has the best chance of winning. And it's there's no secret that I'm a good wrestler. You know, it's not a secret at all. I am a good wrestler. But, you know, like, I've been boxing probably just as long as he's been kickboxing. But my problem is it's not a boxing match, and, you know, and it's not a kickboxing match. So, yeah, the takedown's probably going to be there. And if it's there, I'm going to take it. If, you know, if my punches are there, I'm going to take it. You know, most of my fights go to the ground. Most of my fights end on the ground, whether I lose or whether I win. Most of them end on the ground. So I'm not going to sit here and say, yeah, I'm going to try and stand up with Razor the whole time. No, I may use my punches. I may punch. I'm going to feel him out. You know, it's a fight. I have no idea what's going to go down. You know, if he goes out there and I feel like I'm losing on the feet, I'll take him down. Yeah. Okay. But, you know, what's up?
No, go ahead. Sorry.
It's just, you know, I have the ability to dictate where this fight goes. And that's a great weapon that I have that he doesn't. You know, he has to try and keep on his feet, you know, and the fact that I do have the ability to take him down. I think I'm the best wrestler in the WEC, and arguably I think I'm the best wrestler in the UFC.
Wow. Those are big words. In
the lightweight division. Well, you know, I was an All-American. I was top 25 division one. I broke my tailbone my junior year, and the guy that I lost to in the national finals the year before took fifth in the nation. Then the following year took third in the nation, and I lost to him with riding time. You know, and he went to the University of Iowa. So I mean, like, I'm a good wrestler. I'm a good wrestler, and last time he fought a really good wrestler, he lost. You know, Richard Crunkleton, he's a great jiu-jitsu guy. He's a great fighter, but I don't think he's as explosive as I am. And, I mean, that guy's been in a lot of wars, a lot of battles. I think Richard Crunkleton isn't the same fighter he was, you know, 4 years ago when he fought Hermes Franca and got armbarred. You know, I don't think Richard Crunkleton's the same fighter that he was back in the day. And he's definitely not as physical, explosive, and as good. He doesn't have as good wrestling as me.
Can you talk a bit about your thoughts on Razor Ramon? I mean, like I said, very brash, you know, very confident guy. He's got the nine-fight winning streak. You know, definitely, you know, when we spoke to him, thinks he, like yourself, is the top dog in the WC. What do you think of Razor Ramon?
You know what? I've actually had the pleasure of meeting Razor a couple times. I think he's a great guy, and he is definitely an accomplished striker. He's good at what he does. He's got a hard right hand, and he's got some good kicks, and he sets up that right hand well with his kicks. I've actually been to his gym back when I was 18 years old. I took a trip out to Huntington Beach. That's when, like, Team Punishment was, like, at its pinnacle. They had Tito Ortiz, and then they had Rico Rodriguez. They just had a lot of good fighters out there, and I went down to Huntington Beach, and I worked out there just for a day, and I got to meet Tiki, and I got to meet Razor Ramon. And, you know, he was a cool guy, and I actually got to meet him at one of the WEC events. He's a good guy, and he's real tough. I just really think he's fought a lot of fighters that don't have my ability, that don't have the ability to really bring a real good fight to him, and I think he's really one dimensional. You know, I don't see him having a good ground game. I don't see him being able to, you know, stop my attacks on the ground. And we'll just see. We'll see. I'm not going to sit here and bash a guy and talk trash about him. I think he's really good at what he does. But I'm a much better, more well-rounded fighter.
Damn, I was trying to get you to talk trash about him, but it didn't work. Just joking. So this is going to be, by the time you guys fight, it'll be your second fight in the WEC. Prior to fighting for the WEC, you were a member of the UFC, as you mentioned. We're 1-1 over there, and now you've made the transition into the WC, an organization that's trying to focus more of the, you know, the lighter fighters, 155, 145, etc. How have you liked your transition into the WC? Was that something that you wanted, that you asked for? Did they recommend it to you? How did that all work out?
Well, they recommended it to me. They, you know, they went on a crazy buying spree. They bought all these organizations. Bought the WFA, WEC, and bought Pride, and they came at me with an opportunity to fight lesser opponents for more money. You know, I was going to fight Din Thomas back in like April or May, and then they brought up this WEC thing. I was going to fight Din Thomas for 5-5, and you know, Din Thomas is, I think he's one of the top 10 guys in the world in the lightweight division, and they offered me to go to WEC to fight, you know, guys like Richard Crungleton, Sharon Liggett, and Razor Robb for more money. And they also gave me a signing bonus. So like, hey, we'll pay you more money to fight guys that aren't quite as tough. So I'm like, okay, I'll do it. And then what happened was they said, you know, if I win all my fights and defend the belt a couple times, that maybe they'll bring me in and give me a shot at whoever the UFC champion is at the time. It seemed like...
Is that the goal for you? Is the goal to try to one day get back into the UFC? Do you view the WC?
Yeah. I don't want to be in the WC forever, man. I just want to, you know what? I want to get some, I'm a young fighter. I want to get some experience. I want to make some money. And, you know, if I can fight guys that aren't as high a level and make decent money at it and get more experience, because what happened to me in the Hermes Franca fight, I lacked experience, man. I hadn't fought in like 6 or 7 months. And then I had to go fight a guy that was ranked 10th in the world. You know, my very first fight in the UFC after I hadn't fought in forever. And I got used to, you know, I was fighting, you know, bums in Rage in the Cage, but I couldn't find fights. I had Adam Lynn pull out of a fight. I had a bunch of fights back out on me where I just couldn't find any fights. Couldn't find any fights. And finally, I got the opportunity in the UFC. At first, they're like, okay, we want you to fight Spencer Fisher. Then like 2 weeks later, three weeks before the fight, so like, okay, well, we're going to change your opponent. You find Hermes Franca, who is a much more dangerous opponent than Spencer, I thought. Because my game plan for Spencer, I was just going to take him down and smash him on the ground. He had absolutely no wrestling. And I think Frankie Edgar, who should be a 45-pounder, really showed that. You know, Frankie Edgar was a 141-pounder in college for wrestling. We went to rival schools in Pennsylvania. He wrestled at Clarion, I wrestled at Lock Haven, and I got to see him wrestle a couple of times. And he's a small 55-pounder, and he did great. But then they brought Hermes Franca in, and I had to really change up my style. And there's nothing like fighting in the UFC, man, especially when you're 21 years old and walking in there and you see Tim Duncan as you're walking out to the cage. You know, it's a real deal. And Big John McCarthy's in the cage with you. It's like, it's almost too good to be true. It's so surreal. But, I don't mind the transition. I plan on being in the UFC again. And, you know, I think my fighting style speaks for itself. You know, I was able to submit a guy faster than Chris Lytle could. Jason Gilliam, we both fought him. I beat Jason Gilliam in like a minute and 30 seconds, and it took Chris Lytle like three and a half minutes to beat him.
We always find it a little strange when, you know, they're interviewing Carlos Condit and Uriah Faber, and they're saying, you know, WEC is the number one organization in the world. And while it has to be considered now one of the top three or four, it seems a bit strange to say that when, you know, you're associated with the UFC. That said, you know, for those who cover the sport, we're starting to find more and more about, you know, what the plans are for the WEC come 2008 and whatnot. Have they told you? I mean, there were some rumors that they're now going to start having shows outside of Las Vegas, bigger venues, now that it's starting to, you know, get more and more popular as a brand. Has anyone within the organization spoke to the fighters and said, okay, listen, this is what we're hoping to do, and we're really trying to establish this as a second entity separate from the UFC?
You know, I'm kind of out of the loop with the whole WEC, UFC thing. No one really talks to me, tells me anything. I get the phone call, and they're like, hey, you want to fight this guy? And I say, yes. I mean, that's pretty much all it is with me. I take whatever opportunity I can to fight, you know, whoever they offer me. Like I said, they offered me Din Thomas. No one wanted to fight Din Thomas. And then something ended up happening with Din, and then I think he got hurt or ended up fighting Kenny Florian, and then they decided to bump me to the WEC to help build up that organization. But no, I you know what, I'm out of the loop. I have no, I haven't been told anything about, you know, going to a bigger venue. I do think it's the same production as the UFC. Like, I see all the same people at the weigh-ins, the photo shoots, the same production crew. The only thing that's different is the lettering on the mat and the color and the size of the ring. I think the ring's about 2 feet smaller in diameter. But it's, like, all the same people. So, like, when I go to a UFC event, you know, the two UFC events, I see all the same people that I did at my WEC event. So it really doesn't feel any different, just the crowd's a little bit smaller.
You talk about that fight with Din Thomas. Was that the one at the Ultimate Fight Night in September, or was that an earlier supposed to be an earlier
fight? No, that was May. I was supposed to fight him in May, last May. And they offered me that fight. I never got the contract or signed it. They offered me it. I said yes. And then we got a call from Joe Silva like a week or two later. And I started training for a Din Thomas style fight or style fighter. And then I got a call and they asked me about the WEC and they came with this offer. And I'm like, and I talked to my managers and my trainers and they said, yeah, let's go for it.
We wanted to get some clarification on, we heard that you were offered a bout against George Gurgel at UFC 73. Was that ever actually formally offered to you?
No. I wanted that fight. I wanted that fight.
Why?
I was just like, I was so happy just to like, you know, because they kept offering me every fight, you know, they would come at me. It's like, okay, let's go Spencer Fisher, Hermes Franca, you know, they just kept offering me all these like, these horses, you know, all these big, big top fighters, you know, I'm 21 years old and, you know, I'm young. I was pretty inexperienced. You know, I definitely now know I have the talent, but, you know, they just kept offering me all these tough fights. I'm like, what the hell? And I see guys like Roger Huerta and, you know, Tyson Griffin getting these bums. And I'm just like, what the hell's going on here? How come these guys are getting these easy fights and you guys keep throwing me to the wolves? And then I got this opportunity with the WEC to really build up a record, make a name for myself and get the experience that I need, you know? And, I took it and, you know, I definitely wanted that fight with Gurgel. I just, he was a very, very tough guy. You know, he can take a beating with the best of them, but I just didn't see him able to do anything to me. You know, one, I my wrestling's good, and then I didn't see him being able to outstrike me at all.
So why did that fall through?
Ask the UFC about that. But they never offered me that fight. I asked for it, but you can't really ask in the UFC. You know, they have all the control, and it's you just got to take what they give you and, you know, roll with the punches. You know, I can't say no. You know, you can't say no to them. So, you know, if they say, hey, you want to fight, you know, you want to fight Hermes Franca, you got to say yes. Or if you want to fight Sean Sherrick, you got to say yes, because, you know, you don't know when you may get the call again. It may be another 6 or 8 months.
What do you make of a guy like Roger Huerta? Because at one point being billed as sort of the poster boy of this, the new Latino demographic that they're trying to go after, gets on the cover of Sports Illustrated. And it just seems as though now people are starting to recognize him. He's another guy who fights in the 155-pound weight class. Do you view as though now he should be recognized as, quote-unquote, the real deal?
No, I don't. You know, beating Guida is huge for him, because Clay Guida is no joke. That guy, he's not the most technical guy in the whole world, but he is a tough SOB. He's very tough, and he was getting dominated until the very end of that fight. And, you know, that's just the way the fight game goes, but I really just don't think he has the tools. I really just don't think he has the tools to be a top 5 guy in the UFC, and I don't think he has the tools to be a top 10 guy in the world. I don't see that. Can he be a tough guy that can compete with the low-level guys? Yes. Can he beat low-level fighters? Yes. I don't think he'll be able to beat, you know, a Kenny Florian, a Din Thomas, a Sean Sherk, a BJ Penn, a Joe Stevenson, even Frankie Edgar. I don't think he could beat any of those top-level guys.
From where you're sitting right now, how do you view the top 5 lightweights in the world? Not just UFC.
BJ Penn's the best fighter in the world. I feel he's just the best fighter in the world. He's number one in my book. A healthy Din Thomas is very, very, is a very tough fighter too. I think Din Thomas is up there. Sean Sherk, with or without the steroids, he's definitely passed some drug tests before. I think Sean Sherk is one of the toughest fighters in the world also.
Has the whole steroid situation made you think less of him?
Yeah, because like I saw his training video, like on the behind the scenes, yeah, the Spike, and I pride myself on training hard, and after I saw what he was doing, I'm like, how the hell did he do that? How can he do that every day? And my body gets so broken down when I go into training camps. Like I have to train for like 4-5 weeks, and I have to take like a week off. My body just gets so beat up, and I pride myself on training hard. I mean, everybody in my gym is like, you're a freak. I'm here, probably 2 or 3 hours longer than every other pro in our camp. I'm just constantly working, whether I'm taking privates in jiu-jitsu, working out with our boxing coach, lifting, running, doing sprints, I'm always here. I mean, I'm at the gym right now and it's supposed to be a day off, and I've already worked out twice today. And it's supposed to be like our team day off. So
where would you put yourself in those rankings right now? I mean, like you said, you're still kind of new to the game. You definitely have a lot of fights under your belt, but where would you put yourself in those rankings?
I definitely say I'm a top 10 fighter in the WEC and UFC with them combined. I definitely think I'm a top 10 fighter. I got too many tools that a lot of fighters don't have. The fact that I do have the wrestling credentials. In my boxing background, I grew up boxing, and the fact that my jiu-jitsu game is getting better and better, I just won Worlds, the Nogi Worlds. I'm a purple belt. I just really think I'm one of the more well-rounded fighters, and my strength and my explosiveness, I say I'm definitely a top 10 fighter, top 10, and as I grow, because there's this constant growth in this sport. You can never know too much. My striking can always get better. My wrestling can always get better. My jiu-jitsu can always get better. So I'm still a baby in the sport. I've been doing it since I was 18, but I've only been doing it full-time for about a year and a half. And the gains that I've made and I've been able to see in the past year and a half, I'm real excited to see where I'd be, 2 years from now.
Now, let's say you do get past Rob McCullough, which I'm sure you're banking on. Is there one guy in particular that you'd love to test your strengths up against?
In the WEC or UFC or both?
Well, I mean, realistically, it seems as though if you would beat Rob McCullough, you'd have to fight in the WEC. You'd have to challenge someone.
Yeah.
So let's think you WEC.
Probably Marcus Hicks. I think he'd probably be the next guy in line. Marcus Hicks, the wrecking ball or whatever they call him. I think he, because he's got two wins in the WEC. I thought it was going to be Alex Karalexis, but there's new athletes coming out, and they're coming everywhere. In the WEC, I don't know who in the WEC, if I'd be Razor Rob, I don't know who else I'd fight. That'd be a real competitive fight. But probably Marcus Hicks would be a tough one. Ed Ratcliffe is a real tough fighter. I've had the opportunity and the pleasure of meeting him a couple times, and he's a real good athlete. He just fought Alex Karalexis and beat him. So those two guys would probably be real tough fights for me, good fights for me.
And how many fights do you have left on that contract?
Three. I signed a 4-fight deal.
Signed a 4-fight deal, and as things stand right now, you're pretty happy with the situation, right?
Yeah, I don't mind it. I really don't. It's a good home. The only problem is I wish I was fighting more often, man. I just fighting every 6 months, garbage just sucks.
Would they let you ever try to fight on a lower level show just to keep active, or are they pretty strict about being exclusive?
Well,
you see it sometimes with guys like Chris Lytle. He he fought on a show that wasn't a UFC show, things like that.
Yeah, I have too much to lose, if I fought a bum or whatever, they have too much to gain. Especially since I'm the number one contender. I thought about fighting in one of our, the local Rage in the Cage, or I thought about picking up a fight somewhere else. But, what happens if, I lose? What happens if I get caught, or if I get a big cut over my eye or something? What happens if I break my hand in the fight? you know, I have too much to lose doing that when I got this great opportunity in front of me to fight Razor for the belt. You know, and even though I didn't sign a contract like yesterday, I've been training for it, and that's the fight I had planned on having. That's the fight I was promised, so I was hoping they were, you know, going to stick to their word. So I had too much to lose, and nothing to gain, really.
Very well said, Jamie. All right, thank you so much for joining us here today. Great talking with you and, you know, learning a bit more about your career and where things stand for you. You got the big bout coming up this February against Razor Rob McCullough for the WEC lightweight title. Best of luck to you, and thanks so much for joining us here on Jerry Park.
Yeah, and if you guys want to see how my train's going or see what's going on during the week, go to MTXMMA.com, and I post daily blogs and weekly blogs, let you know what's going on with training and how everything's going. So, yeah, just if you want to see what's going on with me, go to MTXMMA.com or my MySpace at MySpace.com/FightKid with 2 D's.
And we could vouch for the fact that he does check his MySpace. That's how we hooked up with Jamie. So thanks a lot, Jamie. Best of luck. And when you do get that belt, come back to Jerry Park and talk all about it.
Yeah, well, why don't you guys give me a call after I got that belt around my waist?
Will do.
All right. All right. Later.